Happy Father's Day to everybody. I think, you know, when we have these things, it's just good to all celebrate together, isn't it? Regardless of where we sit in that. You know, whether we're a man, woman, child, mother, father, brother, sister, auntie, whatever we are, let's celebrate this together. Have a seat. I need to show you something. These are my Father's Day socks, see? Chosen by a little boy who insisted on those socks, apparently. So that was awesome. I mean, actually, they went over and above this year. I mean, socks are cool, but DeWalt is a lot cooler, isn't it? And I got DeWalt. Isn't that amazing? DeWalt. No, I got the twin pack, drill, impact driver, battery, the whole bit. So if you come around to our place, you could get bolted to something. All right. Yeah, I just want to start by saying this. I'm going to talk about what it means to have a mindset this morning. Where if you see the title there, I've entitled it "Being a Victor or a Battler," and I'm going to go into that place. But I want you to give me some license here. I want to sort of give it a bit of a disclaimer here. I understand, particularly as for blokes and for men, that, you know, there's a lot of times where we talk about this stuff and people's journey and feeling is everything but. And that's actually why we're talking about it. And so as I speak this morning, I'm not coming from a positive thinking mindset. I'm actually going to share some stuff that I believe is true and makes an incredible difference. So I'm just giving a little disclaimer in that this morning. Because, you know, on Father's Day, we are dealing with things that are very real to people. And one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my ministry experience was do a funeral for a father who was so devastated with the disconnection of his own life and his own family. And I say that to say this stuff is real. And it happens. But we've sung this morning what the enemy meant for harm, God can turn around and use for good. So I've brought you all down a little bit, but I want to say that this stuff is real for blokes, particularly. I think where, you know, I had a quick squeeze through the Mercury this morning. There was a great article there on the whole "Are you all right? Speak up, stay chatty" things. You know, as guys, it is so important that we actually ask those questions, that we reach out to each other. And for girls too, it's not just a one size thing. So I see that, feel that, and starting in that place, I'm going to lead you on a bit of a journey this morning. So there are times, I think, for all of us where we can feel like our backs are to the wall. Has anyone been there? Certainly I have, lots of times. And it feels like everything and everyone is against you. You've been there? And sometimes for me, that's a place where you get the best and the worst of me. You know, there can be a sense where that embodies this sense of fight, this sense of I'm not gonna let this go, and I'm gonna go hard. And I've been in that place lots of times. But it also can bring the worst out in you, where you feel like, you know, you act out of a place of defense. And, you know, often for me, that place of defense is to go on the attack. And that's often how I've felt when I've got my back to the wall. And the stats tell us that often men remain alone in those feelings. And as I've already talked about this morning, that can end, you know, for men and for their families, it can be an amazing tragedy or a terrible tragedy. The traditional Australian way is to battle through, isn't it? Like no matter what happens, we sort of honour this thing in our Australian culture, you know, the Aussie battler, the guy that just, you know, whatever happens, he just battles away and he, you know, he battles through. And we've got this picture of the Aussie battler, and I think the Aussie battler never gets a really big win. The Aussie battler just sort of plugs away and gets little wins. And you know, he's trying to bring up his family with, you know, an honest living and just sort of get through. And we've got this picture, and of course we know that John Howard really had his prime ministership launched with this understanding that he was for the Aussie battler. And perhaps the reason being that there is a whole section of our community that feel like nobody is for them. That they can often feel like, is there anybody that is taking up my cause, is taking up my fight, is actually for me? And perhaps as in those years where John Howard had his own resurrection from political death, and he came to life, and it was like there was a whole group of Australians that felt like somebody actually gets me and somebody is for me. And I've found in my life when it doesn't matter how bad things are, but if there are just a few people around that actually get you and are for you, it makes a whole lot of difference. You don't actually need a whole raft of people. You just need a few significant, important people who get you and are for you. And even if they don't quite get you, because some of us are a bit weird for everybody to get us, but, you know, they are actually for you, it makes an incredible difference. And there's no doubt we will have seasons in life where we have battles, where we need to dig in a bit, we need to push through, and perhaps we shouldn't be adverse to having a battle or two in life. I think sometimes we get this picture that particularly our Pentecostal charismatic Christianity, where we actually want to declare victory, we want to talk about those things, and I don't back away from that because I think it's very important. But sometimes we can get rose-coloured glasses in that, where we think everything should come easy, there should never be a fight, we should never have to push through. The thing about life is we live in a broken world. We live in that things are not fair, and stuff will happen, and there are times we actually have to decide that we're going to battle a bit. There are times we've got to decide we're going to push through. There are times where, you know, the season for life, you know, is commando crawling under your financial devastation. There are times where, you know, a season in life requires that you walking through and over some painful stuff that's actually going to dig into your feet, and it's going to hurt for quite a while before it gets better. I'm trying to think of an analogy for the Nerf guns. We shouldn't be adverse to having a battle. And I believe, though, the problem is sometimes we can just take on this sense of battle, but you are created to be a victor rather than a battler. And I think as John Howard appealed to that mindset in Australia, and people needed a champion and they needed to stand by them, I think we can take that to another level in that you're not just called to be a battler. You're actually called to be a victor. Somebody that actually goes from being just a battler to experiencing wins and victory and things that happen in life. It says this in Romans 8:37, and it says, "No, despite all these things..." And this is Paul writing to the Romans. And this is somebody that had been in more battles than most. This is a guy that had been, you know, that had been beaten, that had been thrown in jail, that had been ridiculed, that had been shipwrecked, that was completely unjustly executed at the end of his life. Funny that he got executed at the end of his life, isn't it? But he knew what it was like to have his back against the wall. And he says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." You see, through Jesus, you are not just victorious, but you are more than a conqueror. What does it mean to actually be more than victorious? It's one thing to say, oh yeah, we've won. And I think, you know, sometimes wins can be incredibly hollow. You know, probably the pinnacle of sport in Australia would be to, you know, to be part of a team that wins the AFL Grand Final. Whether you're particularly into sport or not, but, you know, any bloke sometimes could sort of imagine being part of the footy team that wins the Grand Final. What an amazing feeling. But what often happens after that, isn't it? That, you know, there's an amazing celebration. There are days and weeks of euphoria. And then you know, teams go off and end a season trip and celebrate. And often because it's like, well, what do we do with that now? You know, we go away and we celebrate and we do stupid things and we ruin our life. That's sometimes what happens because the victory becomes hollow. What does it mean to be more than just a victor? What does it mean to be able to take a win and actually make it count for something? What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? And I think the mindset and the thinking is that our battle, as our fought from, makes all the difference. Sports teams that regularly win tend to have a winning mindset. They understand what it means to win. Sometimes you see... You notice I'm on a football theme this morning, not cycling. But you'll see a footy team, and they narrowly lose games. Just yes, Collingwood have done that all their lives. But Collingwood, you notice Collingwood supporters always talk about next year. They live in the hope of an eternal resurrection. But some teams they just narrowly lose, and other teams sort of narrowly win. And often the difference is the team that's narrowly winning, there's a winning culture and there's a belief and there's a know-how to close those key moments and a confidence to get through. And I think the way that we take on our battles and those things that come against us in life is do we take them on with a culture that actually believes there's going to be a way through, that believes that you can close the deal, that you can get through this? Or is this just backs to the wall that I'm going to keep swinging, I'm going to keep fighting, but I don't know quite what's going to happen and probably I'm going to lose again? And I just like to say that I think as kingdom people, we can actually approach these battles from a place of strength. You see, in Christ, we can be confident that we have a winning mindset because overwhelming victory is ours. And you've heard me say this lots of times, those that are around here a bit, that I think that our fight is actually fought from a place of victory. You see, as a sporting team, the team that's actually had a win the week before, if they can keep getting overconfident in check and those sorts of things, it actually puts them in a place of strength to go out and win the following week because they're actually approaching that from a place of victory. And there is an incredible strength in that. And I think if you understand what Jesus has done for you, if you understand kingdom culture, is that we're not taking on our battles as John Howard's Aussie battlers. We're actually taking on our battles as Jesus winners. And there's a big difference between that, you know, because we take that on from a place of victory. You're not just waiting to get there. The battle is already won. You're actually just walking in it and you're taking... You're actually walking into a place of significance rather than just trying to get a win. You're not alone is a good reason that you can feel like you're taking your battle on from a place of victory. Jesus is for you. People are for you. And I think one of the biggest myths that we have is oftentimes that so many people are against us. There are a lot less people against you than ever you feel. Perhaps people are ambivalent, but not everybody's against you. And sometimes we've got to change our mindset in that. There are so many people that are for you. And there is an incredible account in the Old Testament, and the prophet Elisha had been incredibly accurate with his prophecies. And the enemies of Israel were getting incredibly frustrated because every time they launched an attack, Israel knew where it was coming from because the prophet Elisha was telling them. And the king, the opposition king, said, "What's going on here? You know, we just can't take a trick. We just can't get a win here." And he said, "Well, the problem," one of his aides said, "Well, the problem is the prophet Elisha can actually tell the king of Israel the very conversations you have in your bedroom." You know, he said there's this incredible knowing and accuracy about what he does. So they said, "Well, the best thing is we're going to go and take Elisha out." So they come in, they find out the city where he is or the town where he is, and they surround it. And Elisha's servant goes out and says, "Houston, we've got a problem. You know, it's, this place is surrounded and we've got nothing." And he's freaking out. And Elisha just responds confidently. And he says to his servant, he says, "Don't be afraid." And he says this, he says, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them." And obviously, I imagine the look on the servant's face meant that he had to go a bit further. And I'm sure the servant looked at him and said, "You know, Elisha, you've been incredibly accurate, but maybe this time you're on drugs. Maybe this time you haven't quite got it right." And then he prays and he says, "God, will you just open his eyes? Will you show him what's really there? Will you enable him to look into the Spirit? Will you enable him to see beyond his own circumstances? Will you enable him to be able to see beyond a siege mentality?" And the problem in life is so often we can't see beyond a siege mentality. We can't see beyond those things that are around us. We feel like the wagons are circling. We feel like they're there. And Elisha prayed. And in that moment, this servant sees the level of support that they had. He saw what was there. He actually opened his eyes and he saw chariots and he saw horses and he saw this incredible army that was there to protect them. And obviously his demeanor changed. I think to live from a place of victory, we need our eyes to be open. We need to see and understand the overwhelming support we actually have. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Next time you're under siege, next time stuff's going on in your world, you know, why not, stand up and actually declare that those that are with you are more than those that are against you? Why don't you declare, you know, you understand that, and ask God to show you, ask the Holy Spirit to give you an inkling, an understanding of the support that you have. You know, when your family feels like it's just, I don't know what we're going to do. It feels like it's breaking apart. It feels like it's so hard. You know, the Holy Spirit will actually show you that what is for you is more than is against you. When your finances are really under pressure and you think, how are we going to get through this? Those that are for you are more than those that are against. I think to live as a victor rather than a battler, I think number one, we've got to live with our eyes open. Live with our eyes open. Yes, your spiritual eyes. Yet, as I talked about, let's ask that our spiritual eyes would be open. Let's ask that we will see stuff beyond the natural and beyond the immediate and get some insight into what's going on. But when Elisha prayed that his servant's spiritual eyes would be open, he could see what God was doing and he could see the protection that he had. But I think we actually need to have our relational eyes open. Sometimes when you're in that place, you know, all you can see is those that are against you. Has anyone been there? Oh, yeah, that person, oh, yeah, they hate me and they're talking about me behind my back. And, you know, and I know those ones, they're plotting my demise. And you know, that one over there, and everything is against me. Where I think actually shifting your relational eyes and starting to see those people that are for you, those people that are with you, those people that believe in you makes an incredible difference. And we've heard of people that live with rose-coloured glasses, don't we? You know, that see the best in everything and perhaps don't see things that are potential problems and you know, that sort of stuff. And, you know, that there are worse ways to live than that, by the way. But then the opposite can be the thing. Sometimes we just live with dark glasses. We live with this filter, and it's like this filter that we have, it filters out light, it filters out kindness, it filters out support, it filters out love. And whenever anybody comes and says something to you, all the person hears, you know, they might have said 10 positive things and something that didn't quite sit so well with you, and the only thing you go away hearing is that one little thing. Have we ever been there? Certainly I have, lots of times. Romans 8:31 to 39 says, what shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And for some of you Christians that have been around here a long time, you've heard that a million times, haven't you? But the power is not in how many times you've heard it. The power is in what you believe. If God is for us, who can be against us? What shall we say in response to these things? What shall I say next time my back's against the wall? What shall I say when I don't know what I'm going to do with my teenage kids? What shall I say when I don't know if I'm going to get through this next crisis? What shall I say when I'm in the middle of depression? If God is for me, who can be against me? I haven't asked Alex about this, but here we go. I'm not going to talk about the fact that we're great lovers, but sorry, you had to be here. It was something that I accidentally said a couple of weeks ago. Most helpless I ever felt as a bloke was watching my wife go through really serious depression and feeling incredibly helpless. I was a tradie. I could fix things one way or another. I was used to living my life, finding ways to fix things. This thing I couldn't fix. Couldn't fix it. And as I got frustrated so many times, come to the understanding all I could do was just be there. And having to understand that in the midst of that, God was still for us. And Alex said that in the cloud and the fog of her depression, the God in her world, who had been a massive part of decisions she'd made in life and the journey that she'd taken and where she'd got to, she said, it was like I knew that he was there, but he was about this big. And he was just sort of out there somewhere. And she said, I just held on to that little piece of God that I still knew. And whatever your journey is, wherever you are, I think it is holding on. If God is for you, whether you're in a place where you have an understanding of how big and powerful an incredible God is, or whether it's just like, okay, it's been hard and I'm not experiencing that, but you know what? I know that this God is still for me. Because if he's for me, he's actually bigger and powerful than all those things that could be against me. Even when it's hard to feel and see. All right, to live as a victor rather than a battler. Number two, you got to fight your battles. You got to take your battles on from a place of victory, because the battle that you are fighting has already been won. And it is a case of just walking in the victory that you already have. And sometimes I think we're fighting fights, we're taking on battles that are not ours, that we don't even need to have. And maybe there are things in your world at the moment where we can actually move from taking on the battle to walking in a victory lap, because the battle has already been won. Sometimes we're fighting a fight, or we're playing a game that we don't actually have to play or fight, because it's actually not going to matter or make any difference. It's already been won. And we just got to walk in it. We've got to walk quietly in it. Sometimes it won't feel like that. But did you know, so often, in my time as a minister and leader and stuff like that, there are all these conversations that play in your head that you perhaps think you should have or you'd like to have with people. And I used to get them much more when I mowed the lawns. You know, I'd mow the lawns and I'd be having these conversations. And maybe that was a better place to be having them, because did you know, quite often, some of the stuff, it actually doesn't matter whether you even have the conversation or not. Yeah, there's conversations we need to have. But there are some battles that we don't need to fight. And I think we've got to understand, often the battle's being won, and we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and only fight the battles that we need to fight. When you think about the complexities of a large-scale war, you know, like World War II, where there was stuff going on, you know, all pretty much all across the globe. You know, there were fights in the Pacific and Europe and, you know, all across the place. And the reason that the Allies finally won that war, forgetting about the Americans in the Pacific, but the reason that the Allies won in Europe is they very strategically decided which battles they were going to fight. And they put their energy and their effort into the one that they felt mattered. And they came through. You know what? Jesus has actually already won those things. He just needs you to put your energy and effort behind him into the things that matter. And often we waste so much time fighting battles that we don't need to fight, having arguments that we don't need to have, trying to delve into situations that don't really matter that much. Let's remember, we fight from a place of victory. We go out from a place of strength. It says this in 1 John 2:13. It says, I am writing to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith, because you have won the battle over the evil one. Isn't that amazing? Somebody who's young in the faith has already won the battle over the evil one. And that is so good. Dale won't mind me pointing him out, because he doesn't mind it. But Dale's young in the faith. Dale's been around our church for about 7 years or something like that, but only recently made a decision to follow Jesus. Best decision he ever made. So in that sense, he's young in the faith. But the thing is, he's no different to anybody else. He's no different to some battle-hardened Christian who's been through this, who's been fighting the good fight, who's been, you know, through this and that. You know what? Because the battle has already been won. He actually steps in to that place of victory. He's no different to anybody else, because he has won the battle. And I think sometimes as a young Christian, as somebody who's new to the faith, that is the most powerful thing, stepping into something you know has already been won. Let's not use that. Let's not use that wide-eyed wonder of being young in the faith when we've been around for a long time. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith, because you've already won the battle. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith, listen to this, listen to where it goes to. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ. You start to get an understanding of what the battle cost. You start to get an understanding of what the master tactician did. You start to get an understanding of the complexities and the depth and the amazingness of the victory that you're in. Yeah, we're all in it together. But as you become more mature, you actually understand the weight of it and what it can actually do. I think to live as a victor rather than a battler. Number three, let's fight from a place of maturity. Let's fight from a place of maturity. The difference often is as you get older, you choose to have less fights. You know, when you're an angry young man, you just want to fight. You're full of testosterone and, yeah, well, I'll take whoever, anybody on, wherever, whenever, however. You know what? I'm just going to have a fight. I don't even know or care what I'm fighting about, but I'm just going to have a fight because I love to fight. Jeff Towns is still there. He's full of testosterone and he loves to fight. But as you get older, you have less fights. You understand that it's a lot harder. It hurts a lot more to get back up again. So if you're going to have a fight, it better matter. See, maturity is understanding that you don't have to fight all the time. Maturity is understanding that the depth of that victory and being able just to walk confidently and sometimes quietly in that victory where you're not having to take everybody on. The world is not against you. Even though we're told there's a battle on, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but you know, it says we fight against spirits and principalities and powers and things that are in place beyond that. You know, that person who's actually annoying you isn't such a bad person and they're not always against you. You don't have to fight them. Our victory has a foundation and depth in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The deeper that becomes, the more secure we feel in the battle. All right, number four, I think if we're going to be a victor rather than a battler, we've actually got to take it on from a place of security. We're all going to feel a little insecure at times. And the good news is your security's not in yourself. Sometimes you think, oh, if only I could get more secure. If only I could get this or that or just deal with this. You know, I keep acting insecure in that place or that circumstance, you know. I've been there, still have those areas. But you know what? The security that we have is actually not in ourselves. It is actually in Christ. And the more we understand that's where our security is, the more comfortable and relaxed we are when we go into those situations and those things. You know, right now, our country does not need more insecure Christians. Right now, our country does not need more insecure churches. It doesn't need a defensive church, and I don't think it needs an offensive church. It actually needs a secure church. It needs a church who says, you know what? We're broad enough to not be freaked out when things are said and when things are spoken. Yeah, truth remains truth as far as we're concerned. But, you know, that doesn't diminish our capacity to love people. That doesn't diminish our capacity to work with people. That does not diminish our capacity to reach in and understand all sorts of areas of our community. And we actually don't have to go on the offense all the time. We don't actually have to go and bash and make a big noise about areas that are against us. Yeah, there are times we do need to stand up a bit, but in the most part, we've actually just got to be secure in who we are. You know, pendulums swing. I was only talking with my father-in-law who's here this morning. We were only talking the other day and we were just talking about the way the political situation swings in the world. And you know, there was a time it was a certain direction and you're thinking it's going that far that it's never going to come back. And then you can actually see it going back the other way. That's always happened. It will always happen. And we as the church have got to make sure that we don't get on the end of the pendulum and suddenly get flung out into obscurity, onto the outside where we can't make any difference. You know, we can be secure that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, you can be the flavor of the month or you can be the, you can stink. And right now, perhaps the church stinks. But you know what? It's not going away. And it is getting stronger and it is growing and people are coming to Jesus in bigger numbers than they ever have done in the history of the world. And we can be secure about who we are because we win, we have won, and we fight our battles from a place of victory. All right, number five, to live as a victor rather than a battler. I think we've got to fight from a place of vibrancy. I think, you know, a good fight feels young and fresh. We can get fatigued at times, but you know what? We have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. All right, let's break that down. Let's put that into language that anybody over 40 needs to hear. Don't get jaded. Don't get jaded. Here's something that anybody under 40 needs to hear. Don't get jaded. Let's keep it vibrant. Let's keep it wide-eyed. Let's realize that every opportunity is a new opportunity. Let's understand that we are continually being led into a new thing, into new days, into exciting times. All right, to live as a victor rather than a battler, I think we've got to have a defined understand who our enemy is. Because oftentimes we think everybody's our enemy. We think we're sort of in this sort of commando thing where you know, it's like the problem that the Americans had in Vietnam is that they went with all their military force, they went with everything, they went with money and machines and you know, got a monumental backside kicking. And a lot of the problem was they couldn't define their enemy. They didn't know where the enemy was because the enemy was among them. And sometimes we're sort of walking around like we're in a sort of a commando thing in the jungle expecting that someone's going to jump out and jump on us. No, we fight from a place of victory because, you know what, there is a protection over you. You don't actually have to fear that suddenly somebody's going to jump you from behind. The Bible tells us that Jesus goes before us as our protection. And he's also, it says, you know, an old version says our rear guard. In other words, he's a protection from behind. You know, the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood enemies. Your wife, blokes, is not your enemy. Girls, your husband is not your enemy. Where's Tash? Your boss is not your enemy. That insubordinate little upstart on your team is not your enemy. Do you have one of those, Leanne? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Let's take the fight to where it needs to be. Let's understand where it is. And when we do that, you know, we can actually be confident in that thing because we take it on from a place of victory. We're not to be scared and fear, all that sort of thing. Ephesians 6, 12, all right, I'll back up what I've just said with Scripture. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I can testify to the journey that Alex and I have had over the last couple of years, where we've had to walk into things that have been so frustrating because, like I said, it is a bit like that journey I was talking about with walking with somebody through depression, where you can't change things. You can't make a phone call. You can't get tough with somebody. You can't get in that. You can't shake this thing. You can't order a new one. You can't do anything. And we were in that place. And in the end, the only thing that we could do was take up that battle in spiritual places. We can only take up that battle and say, Lord, we believe that you've got a plan in this. We know that you're going to come through. We want you to continue to work in this situation, even though there's nothing that we can do in the natural. And it was amazing as more and more people came together and we stood and we agreed and we stood together in that, something that appeared like it wasn't going to change had a breakthrough. The journey that we've got going into an amazing opportunity and facility in Moona is a total miracle. It was in the natural. It was like, okay, what are we going to do? I remember the day that I called up the real estate guy who was taking it on. And I said, how much are you looking for that facility? And he said, between 8 and 9 million. And I resisted saying, are you on drugs or whatever like that. My heart sunk. I said, I didn't see a caravan on the back of that. They won't get it. My brother Andrew will explain that to you later. But, you know, we actually had to make our declarations in another place. And we had to say, yep, we're going to do what we can do, but we're going to ask God to do what he can do. And we've seen an incredible miracle. There's more to happen and more to come through. So we went from getting $3.5 million for this building to being able to purchase a facility that the asking price was between 8 and 9 million. Just to put you in the picture, there's a section of that building we're not getting, but they reckon the build cost of what we've got over there in Moona altogether would be $15 or $20 million if you set out to do that. Isn't that amazing? And we're, you know, you can probably wipe 7 or 8 million off that because of the other people that have got part of that building. But it's just an incredible miracle. And the miracle actually happened in the Spirit. The miracle actually happened where we declared and asked God to do what only he could do. I just want to encourage you. We're all going to have battles. We're all going to have things going on in our life. And I think as blokes, that backs to the wall feeling. Boys, don't stay there. Those that are for you are more than those that are against you. Those that are for you are more than those that are against you. Tomorrow morning, some of you are going to get up. I don't have the prophetic gift Elisha had. But I can confidently say, I believe most of us will get up. And we're going to face all sorts of different things. Some of you are going to get up and say, what a great opportunity. Some of you are going to be walking back into that job that just makes you feel so deflated, makes you feel down. Some of you are going to be dealing with stuff in family. Some of you are going to be dealing with financial things. Some of you are, you know, going to get up in the morning and you're going to check the internet banking and your heart's going to sink. Sorry, I sound like a prophet of doom, but I'm just talking about things that happen. Why not? Why not when we clean our teeth, have a shave, whatever we do? Why not look in the mirror and make a declaration? Those that are for me are more than those that are against me. And we actually walk into that day, and we walk into that week knowing that we're not alone, knowing that there are people that are with us, knowing that the people that love us, the people that care for us, knowing that there are people for us. And if that's not enough, if you're in the kingdom, you have got Jesus who's for you, and if he is for you, who can ultimately be against you? Because he has won, he wins, and you walk in that victory. Why not? Father's Day to Father's Day. Decide that from this September to next September, you're going to look back and say, you know what? I live that year as a victor rather than a battler. Why don't you stand? What I've been talking about this morning, I know, is not just positive talk. It's not just a positive mindset. It's actually stuff that's true. It's stuff that changes lives. And there is no situation, there is no circumstance, there is no journey that you could have been through that will discredit you. I just want to encourage you, Mark, particularly this year to come where there's plenty that's unknown, but the mindset is that you're not a battler. The battle's been won and you're a victor. You're walking in that. And I just know there's going to be a year where there's going to be all sorts unfold. Some of the things that, and I know some of your journey, but I just believe that some of the things that you've carried on your heart that, you know, you feel have ended in incredible disappointment, and, even your journey to the mission field, all those sorts of things. I just believe there's going to be a sense over the next year where as you start to walk in that place of victory, that so many of those things are actually going to make sense. They're actually going to come together, and you're going to find yourself involved in things that you're thinking, you know what, this is what I was always supposed to be doing. This is what God has called me to. And my encouragement is, you're not a battler. There are people that are for you and with you, and you're going to be amazed at what comes through in that. If you need to step out of a battle mindset into a victory mindset, why don't you just open your heart right now and ask Jesus to come and do a work in that place. Lord, I thank you that we're all in different places. Some of us want to fight. Some of us feel like we've got nothing left to fight with. Others of us might feel rather ambivalent. But Lord, I thank you that you haven't left us in a place where we're battling alone. But we actually are victors. Because you've done the work for us. You've won that battle. You've taken that victory on. And I pray right now that by your Spirit that you would just reach us all here. Some of us need to to let go of some of the battles. Some of us need to give that to you. Some of us need to adjust our thinking around that. Holy Spirit, just come and work with us right now in our situations. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.